Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation live once again on FUBAR Radio. We've got a gorgeous show in store. We've got a very raucous co-host in, the co-host who I listed as perhaps the person who's most likely to get me in trouble on this uncensored radio. So make of that what you will. It's the wonderful Bruce Devlin. He'll be joining us in just a moment. Then, down the line, our special mystery guest is an icon of original viral fame, one of the OGs that went massive, 70-plus million views, parodied by South Park. What?
I said what in the butt.
Yes, the very same. Samwell will be here down the line. We'll be talking to him about his hit from 2007. And then joining us hopefully later in the studio, our guest Tanya Moore will be joining me and Bruce to discuss the headlines, have a little debate around inheritance and all sorts of stuff. It's a lot of fun. And we start, as ever, with the news, which is an interesting sort of news week. It's mostly been about Trump's tariffs, which has been affecting global trade, the stock market, predominantly in terms of like domestic cases in the US, the price of eggs. I don't know what it is about Republican politicians, but they are obsessed with eggs. The price of eggs, whether or not you can produce eggs, what you do with those eggs once they become fertilized. It's sort of like the core issue of Republican politics is eggs in every sort of aspect. I know a lot of people are confused about the ongoing global trade war, so let me break it down with you with my exact spiraling Google search history last night. I tried to get up to date with the tariffs topic, and this is what I Googled in order. Tariffs. What is tariffs? Best tariffs. Am I on best tariff? Switch energy supplier. Stock market. S&P 500. How to be top 500 S&P. Top 500 M&S. M&S Portsmouth. M&S Custard Cream Chocolate Easter Egg. M&S Custard Cream Egg. How much? Will tariffs affect M&S Custard Cream Easter Egg price? Can chocolate cure hopelessness? How much chocolate cure hopelessness? Pre-diabetes. Distance to M&S North Portsmouth. 1 mile walk cure diabetes? M&S opening hours. So yeah, I can't really tell you much about the tariffs. I'll be honest. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole, so I don't really know what's going on with the trade war. But I have switched to Octopus for my gas and electric, and I've got a lovely chocolate upcoming. And sort of more darker news over here in the UK, although this might be reaching out to the US as well. Russell Brand, after many years of being an open secret in this industry, has finally been charged with sexual assault in the UK. His legal team fears that similar prosecution could follow in the States. Warner Brothers Discovery has genuinely offered to hand over around 8 hours of outtake footage from the 2011 film Arthur as evidence. I mean, what a blooper reel. I mean, outtakes are meant to be sort of a post-credits treat, not evidence against you in a criminal proceedings. I just feel sorry for the team that has to review the footage, because in the process they will have, of course, to inadvertently watch the 2011 film Arthur, which is, and this is saying something, one of the worst things Russell Brand has done. Brand once said in his sort of iconoclastic years of British comedy that true fame involves having an instantly recognisable silhouette, which at the time sounded like a good advice, but now of course we know he was just hoping to identify the backlit whistleblowers on dispatches. It's easy to make fun of his pseudo-intellectual batshit sort of spiritual wankishness, but we have to remember he is just a figurehead for a much larger network of entertainment wrong-uns. His potential conviction should be a starting point and not the satisfied conclusion. For now though, please throw your bookie wooks in the bin. Do not donate them to your local charity shops. The lovely old volunteers do not know any better. I cannot tell you the amount of Gary Glitter vinyl I've found in the British Heart Foundation and Sue Ryder. Just throw it out. Do us a favour. Burn it if you have to. Back in talking of sort of wankers, not quite on the same level, but in a different realm, Boris Johnson is back in the news. Obviously, he's been criticising the Labour government, but this caught my eye. He was actually attacked. Boris Johnson was attacked recently. I'm sure a lot of us have been tempted by such an action, but actually the person who did it was not a person, but an ostrich. Boris Johnson was victim of an ostrich ordeal in Texas Safari Park. The squawking agent of chaos, known for burying its head in the sand, was attacked by an ostrich. Classic comedy switcheroo for you there. Sadly, a peck by an ostrich is not enough to save a disgraced politician in the UK. You have to eat its anus on live TV for that level of redemption. And before we get into our parking news, as we always do, I found this very local news to me in the Argus, which is Brighton's local newspaper, and I just sort of wanted to read it to you verbatim. See what you make of this headline-grabbing news amongst all the sort of global war happening. Train from Brighton to Portsmouth trashed with crisps. So this is the big news, of course, in the Argus. Part of a train carriage was trashed with crushed crisps in an act described as disgraceful by other passengers. The incident happened on 10:10 p.m. train from Brighton to Portsmouth. Portsmouth involved a group of men on their way back to Havant. They smashed up a bag of cool Dorito crisps and covered the train carriage in crumbs. I'll be honest, it doesn't look like a seed of destruction. It's just a little bit of a mess. But this has got people very furious in the comments. It's proper local Facebook forum stuff, which we might get into later. Oh, I've accidentally clicked on a local news website advert. I'm very sorry to FUBAR Radio. I have infected your PC system with whatever the Argus Online is advertising. Apparently, the Tutankhamun immersive exhibition. I think that might be a Trojan horse for much more sinister things. And we finish, as we do every week, with a parking story. I'm very excited to talk to my guest co-host today about parking. I know he's had a recent victory in this realm. But this actually isn't about parking tickets. This is about news that over a million cars sold every year in the UK are too big to fit into conventional parking spots. So this is a sort of worrying trend, a ridiculous and annoying sort of move towards SUVs, the likes of the United States sort of big pickup truck sort of style. And the problem is, it's easy for a country basically built in the last century with the infrastructure to support massive cars, you know, have these wide roads. Britain, I mean, some roads you can barely go down if you're over a size 18. It's not sustainable in the UK to have this size of car. It's not compatible. And obviously, I'm about to bring in my lovely co-host, Bruce Devlin. And as a pair, we are two optimistic gay men. And as two optimistic gay men, even we are saying to you, sometimes it just can't fit. Stop trying to make it happen, right? Size isn't everything. A smart car that can park is better than a teasing truck that can only manage the bumper. And just for clarity, I'm saying bumper. And on that note, I bring in my dear friend, my fender bender, Bruce Devlin. Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I gasp because I too am an Octopus Energy customer.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
How do you find them?
I find them very nice. I feel they offer a very good value. I'm on a fixed contract.
A dream. I very agreeable. We used to be with EDF.
They're outrageous. They're rude. That's the thing as well.
But very
interesting what you say about car parking spaces. That's why I hate the Fiat 500. I hate the Fiat 500 because I believe it is the, dare I say, cock tease of cars. Because you will be edging round a space and then, oh, you think it's Fiat and that tiny little motorised testicle is there just to upset you. And so, yeah.
Oh, it's infuriating. Even worse when you find a motorbike in those sort of spaces.
What's wrong with those people?
I know. There's because around parking in north of Portsmouth where I am, very limited street parking. And there's a guy with a motorbike. He parks them end to end, takes up like three spaces with these two motorbikes.
I think that's more a cry for help.
You reckon?
I would like to know his religious disposition because I feel this is all like kind of, I don't know, iconography.
I see.
Yeah.
You think it's a representative of something deeper?
I think it is, and something quite sinister actually. But it's interesting what you say about being a sturdy fender bender. There are streets in Edinburgh I just will not negotiate in leggings because there is just no room. Seriously.
It is. It's. I mean, I like Edinburgh a lot, but it is the passages you end up down.
Oh my goodness! Narrow passages, dry passages,
dry,
very dry. Or if you have a bad summer, very wet.
Oh no, that's the worst.
No one likes a sloppy passage.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well.
Now, I was going to ask you. I've been doing lots of research on you, which I've never done before. We've been friends for about a year now.
Yeah,
we met in Cardiff last year.
We did meet in Cardiff on the day of. It was the weekend of Gay Pride.
It was indeed Cardiff Pride. Yes, they booked me. Sorry, I love the glee clubs and I'd love to do them again. But they booked me for Birmingham, Cardiff, and another one, I can't remember which now, on each Pride weekend. But they did not give me a Pride uplift fee for being a homosexual.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't even give you any kind of like Liza memorabilia.
Yeah, and I know. There should be some sort of retribution.
Yeah, exactly. But no, we had a great time, actually. It was the first time that I'd met you. We got on famously. We went out. We went to the Golden Cross.
Oh, my goodness,
which
yes.
Which is Cardiff's premier gay bar. That is where you will find, put it this way, there's something for everyone in there. It's like the repair shop.
Yes, people come in hoping to maybe go out in a bit better shape,
yes,
but they rarely do.
No, exactly. And then that's the night we got the McDonald's and you fell over in the street.
Yes, yeah. Well, I was in my heels still from the show.
Well, you were still in your heels. And then we'd gone out the next day. I wouldn't get served the Aperol that I wanted at the bottom of the
Brunch. So we've been hitting the town quite hard.
Oh, very hard.
Cross. We saw the drag that time forgot.
Yes.
absolutely pissed. Fell over in the street with McDonald's. Absolutely woke up the next morning, hungover as hell. Bruce, 9 a.m., phoning me, oh, we're going going out? Are we going out for a brunch then? So we all gone out for brunch. You want to have a bottomless brunch on top of what we've already had?
Well, yeah, I did, and I was told, no, you can't have a bottom, which I think is offensive to bottoms,
but
you can't have a bottomless, but it's just tops. I couldn't have a bottomless brunch because my fellow diners wouldn't have a bottomless brunch.
Me
and I just thought about that just now, that I could have gone to the next table and said I was independent. But then I'd gone out on my own that afternoon, had so much to drink, I thought I'd missed my plane and was down.
Yeah, you thought you'd slept through the entire Saturday gig and it was Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And you text me going,
what time is it? And I kept going down to the reception. She went, Bruce, you've been down. I've told you. It's okay. And I just said, I'll see you at the club. Could you bring the share box?
Oh, yes. So we had the share box chicken and chips, which I dropped, just out of context, I dropped all over the street the night before. And Bruce said, oh, no, I still have it. And I love it cold.
I do like it cold. I really like the sweet curry sauce as well.
Yeah. Well, that was very funny. That's where we first met.
Like, yes.
And we've
and stayed in touch.
Yeah, it's been nice. Because, of course, you're in Edinburgh and I'm on the South Coast. We occasionally convene when we can.
Yes.
When we're both in London, for example.
Yes, because we met just before you went to see Cyndi Lauper.
Yes, yep. I've done the full sort of homosexual gamut that week. I did Cyndi Lauper on the Tuesday and then Patti LuPone on the Sunday.
You're a busy girl.
I really am. I like to keep myself. But in all of our friendship, I never researched you. I never Googled your name.
I think that's very wise, in all honesty.
Well, I didn't realise there's another Bruce Devlin, the Australian golfer.
Oh, my God, yes. He's still alive.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me find out now. But have you ever been confused for the Bruce Devlin, the Australian golfer?
Oh, I remember someone tried to have a pop at me on the Twitter and saying, oh, who does he think he is, the golfer? And I said, well, of course I'm not the golfer. You know, I'm aware of the fact I'm not the golfer. I've never teed off. I've drunk tea. I've spilled tea, but I've never teed off.
He is still alive. He's 87.
Good for him.
In New South Wales, I wonder if he gets confused from you and he gets homophobia on his Twitter.
Well, talking about parking, as you were earlier, I managed to get myself out of a parking ticket, won't name the city, Newcastle, one of my favourites, and I didn't realise that you have to take the car out the car park, or you can pay a huge amount to keep in all weekend, but if you wanted to do it anyway, I didn't, and the guy came over, and I said, oh, I think you're being quite homophobic towards me. Now, he wasn't, okay, my bad, and I got out of the ticket, he just went, just go.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The fear you just put up him.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, no pun.
Yeah. I'm disappointed I don't get more opportunities in my life to trade off of homophobia, to have that upper hand and accuse somebody of a bigotry. I've been very privileged. For shame. I've had no experience like that. But have you...
Well, that's what they call pride in Scotland. Shame.
Shame, yeah. The gay shame parade.
It's an all-year festival.
Here it comes.
Your mum hates you. Start crying.
I wonder if that gets the same quality of sponsors as the big parade.
So
you got out of the ticket. That's fantastic.
I got out of the ticket, so that was fine, because it was going to be like about 50 or 100 quid.
Oh,
so,
my goodness, he wipes out your weekend's profits.
Well, absolutely. You know, pays for the panty pads.
The last thing I wanted to do, many things came up when Googling you.
Uh-huh.
This line from your bio stood out to me because, you know, I know you, but Kieran met you about an hour ago and I'm sure he's got an impression of you.
Yes, I think so.
So I wonder how he'd react to this news. A versatile and adaptable comic, Bruce is a regular and favourite within children's comedy.
Yeah, I know, that's true. So I do children's comedy the Glasgow International Festival. I have done kids' corporates, believe it or not. When my little dog was on the go, which was a few years back, she would come and help out. So yeah, I think people are always, it always annoys me that people are like, oh, they let you on TV or they let you on radio or they let you, you know, entertain children. And it's like, yeah, I was brought up correctly. You know where you can push things and you know where to pull back. Also as well, I have a niece and nephew who I'm still very close to. They're now 31 and 27 respectively. And I never swore in front of them until my nephew swore at me at the age of about 9. He went, do you want to know the words? I know. And when he told me the words he knew, I thought, they're pretty heavy duty.
Really?
He
came in really quite out the gate.
Oh my goodness.
Is that a Scottish thing, do you think?
I think we'll cut back on the racism. But
I told you you'd get me cancelled on my own radio show. I can't believe it. But what do you do for the kids then? What do you sort of...
I'm basically myself, but I just don't swear. That's the whole thing. So tell them, you know, I would tell them the story about the parking thing. I wouldn't necessarily say anything about homophobia and all that kind of thing, whatever. I'd just say, I thought the man didn't like my slacks.
Your slacks.
My slacks. So he was like, no. So, yeah.
Amazing. Oh, well, look, we're going to head into a break now.
Okay.
I could talk the
We're not on a break.
No, we're very much fine. Fully committed.
Okay.
I'm recommitting. We'll renew our vows in this upcoming...
like about quarter to thrice.
Yes. and we'll be back in just a moment with the iconic Samwell.
FUBAR Radio. Politics Uncensored.
First of all, Donald Trump can monumentally fuck off with these proposals. Let's call this what it is. What they are trying to do is take over 2 million people whose homes, families, heritage, generations, lineage, lives, futures, dreams, hopes are tied intrinsically to the land of Gaza and ethnically cleanse them into different regions.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
So shall we start from the very beginning, if you're happy to explain a little bit more what this ISA product is in the first place?
Yeah, so an ISA stands for Individual Savings Account, and there are different versions of ISAs. You can have them for cash savings, so what most people probably come into interaction with them of. The reason they are important is because any growth you get on the money in that ISA, if you do that outside of an ISA, the tax man can take some of that.
What the Hell with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Joining me is going to be Lily White, content creator and founder of The Nightclub.
You're told to wear high vis, you're told to change your route weekly. They're so helpful and I'd always recommend them, but that's not solving the root of the problem.
No.
It's, again, a societal issue that needs to be corrected, and putting the onus on women all the time is not going to solve the problem.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins.
That's a Geordie Shaw thing.
Has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. With us down the line, patiently waiting, listening to our ad break, the wonderful, the iconic Samwell. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am good. How are you guys?
We're great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. This is my lovely co-host, Bruce. I'm Andrew.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you calling us from?
I am calling you from Virginia.
Virginia. Oh, very nice.
I'm sorry, just because it's a kind of hobby of mine. Are you having a glass of something that looks very chilled and fizzy?
Yes, I am.
Good for you.
Yes, I am.
Oh,
very
classy. Lovely.
Very classy. And just for context, it's like, what is it, 9 a.m. in the morning there?
Yes, it is. Damn it.
You're living your best life, Samwell. I love it. Now, you are one of the icons of original, like, internet virality. Your song, What in the Butt, was huge at the time, parodied by South Park. Everyone, I tell people, oh, I've got Samwell on my show, and they lose their minds. Even over here in the UK, you're a global sensation. What was it like to be at the forefront of viral fame?
I mean, excuse me, my allergy, so my voice is a little messy.
No worries.
You know, it just kind of happened. And then I was like, what is going on here? I had this song in my head for a few years. I got it produced. And then I met some friends who put it together. We did a video. And then we released on this thing called YouTube, because just FYI, or, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a very savvy, technological person. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what is this YouTube thing? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a thing that people put things on, and then sometimes people like it, and then they blah, blah, and it blows up. And so we just put it up there, not thinking that it would do anything. We're like, okay, put it up there, and let's see what happens. And then lo and behold, you know, 6 months, a year later, you know, South Park put it on their show. And then Tosh.0 featured me on his show. And I also was actually in England many years ago on when Lily Allen had her TV show. Mm. So it just kind of went, it was wonderfully crazy. And I loved it. I loved it and still love it.
Amazing. Because you hadn't heard it. I sent you the link.
I hadn't heard it. So I dealt with you on the train this morning thrice times.
And where have you been under a rock for the past 17 years?
I've actually been in an induced coma, and I was only let out this morning. But I'd forgotten about Lily Allen. Apparently she makes a huge amount of money online with her feet.
Oh, yes, OnlyFans. Yes, she makes an OnlyFans career now.
Really?
Have you been able to do an OnlyFans with your butt, and what might go?
Absolutely not. No. That's not me.
That's not your bag. I understand.
What did you think of the song? You'd never heard it before.
I enjoyed it, but then, very fun. Do you know something? I knew what I was dealing with when I saw the, can I say chocolate starfish? Hey, I just have. When I saw that, I thought, I'm in for a wee treat.
It's so fun. I mean, and also at the time, 2007, like, this is sort of pre-Drag Race, pre-sort of a movement of, like, you know, gay culture in the mainstream. So you're kind of at the forefront of that as well. How do you think it would be received today if it came out? I mean, you'd probably be like a TikTok sensation.
You know, honestly, I mean, maybe in my mind, I think it probably would have been at least a top 20 hit.
I fully back that. I agree.
Because I will say back then, you know, I did, when you don't realize that you were at the forefront of something, you're like, I was just doing what I was doing, you know, as a gay artist. They didn't really know what to do with the song back then. So yeah. it just, you know, it did its virality. So it became popular, but it never really made the charts. But I honestly think if it came out now, like today, it would be completely, definitely in the top 20. No doubt.
Mm-hmm. What somebody said is that obviously it's like sort of one of the instances of LGBT hip hop. There were lots of comments under your original video saying like you paved the way for like Lil Nas X and all these like, yeah, top artists. So it's a legacy.
I am humbled, but I don't take that. I just did what I did and hope, and obviously something good came from it. So I'm very humbled by that statement. So yeah.
Amazing. Obviously, a part of its like massive sort of awareness was its featuring on South Park. Although I heard that they didn't get MTV networks were sued because they didn't have the rights to it. How did that feel like? Sort of them just taking your song.
No, let's full disclosure. I was not the one who sued them. My producers of the video sued them.
Right.
I had no issues. I was taken care of. Mm-hmm. I was properly compensated, and everything on my end was good. I just think the producers didn't appreciate how the video was used in the episode, mm-hmm. and where they I don't think they got any compensation for it. So I think there was an issue with that. But on my end, I was good.
Oh, good. We're very glad to. Yeah. Well, sometimes we have viral stars on this show who, like, everyone's profiting off their work except them. You know, everyone's making their own merch.
Yeah. I mean, I will admit I'm sure there are. There have been times when people have taken advantage of my virality and just used it for profit. And I, you know, when you don't know, who knew that the song would become what it became? Mm. So I had no idea. So as the saying goes, when you know better, you do better.
Do you have a follow up to the original in mind? Would you like to bring your pop pop butt butt etc. out into, you know, the foray for everyone to see what's going in next or where you're going?
What in the butt was this one that became really big and popular, mm-hmm. but I have other songs, mm-hmm. you just gotta check them out. There's my last song that I did a few years ago was called Dirty Nasty Naughty Boy. You should check that out.
It's really good. It's got a pumping bass line. It's proper like
I would like to see a collaboration with Caswell.
Who's Caswell?
Caswell is... Do you know who Caswell is?
Yeah.
So he is a producer, DJ. He is very friendly with Peppermint of the Drag Race franchise. Yeah. They have collaborated. Him and Manila Luzon have collaborated on a lot of music. He did that, was it Loose Wrists? Which was one of his, like, kind of big... standards, no pun. But I think it would be really interesting to see a collaboration between these two.
Yeah, well, is that maybe something you'd like to explore? Maybe more collaborations?
We've put it out into the... We're manifesting.
We've got connections here.
Yeah. To the local camp company.
He's an amazing artist, so I definitely would... It would definitely be something I would be interested in. So, yeah, of course.
Is there a musical icon or a hero of yours?
And Lil Nas,
yeah, yeah. who would you most like to collab with? Who's like your number one icon in music?
Janet or Madonna?
Oh, but I was about to say, I think Madonna would like a sniff of this.
Yeah.
Because she likes to stay relevant. She likes niche things as well, and she has spoken about that activity in the past. That was in her book about sex. And that scene is in a dressing room in the Ralph Lauren shop on Madison Avenue.
Oh, that is fun. And she's very recently reconciled with Elton John, I don't know if you've seen. So she'll be more open to collaborating.
I know.
So
if Madonna is out there and she sees this, I'm available.
Okay.
You just tell me what to do, and I'm there.
That's fine.
Well, she's an avid listener, so we'll make sure to pass on your words. What have you been up to since? What are you doing at the moment?
What am I doing at the moment? Trying to figure out my next big creative thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a regular job, so, you know, there's that. But just trying to figure out my next thing, you know, trying to find a new producer, and just, you know, get back out there. It's been a minute, you know, so I was looking to try to get something done pre-COVID, but then COVID happened, so it kind of, you know, put the kibosh on that.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, okay, let's get out there and see what we can do. Create some fun stuff. With so much going on in the world, I've got lots to talk about.
Of course.
And in your current professional life, are you recognized from fans of the track?
Yes. All the time. Oh. It's wonderful. I love it. It's a little, I'm like, okay, what? Okay. What? Okay. But no. Yes. It's all the time.
Fab.
It puts a smile on my face. So I always appreciate the Samuelites. They're amazing.
Yeah. Well, look, we.
I get a lot of straight men, which is interesting. Okay.
Oh. There's awoken something in them.
But
maybe
that is the thing, isn't it? Because straight men enjoy that kind of activity with a lady, but they frown upon it when it's two gentlemen.
Well, they publicly frown upon it, don't they?
Well, yes.
Exactly.
Let's all pop to the local lavatory.
You get them alone. They're like, okay.
And a lot of them are very lonely.
Oh, well, look, Samuel, we're so grateful for your time. I love your energy. I really hope that the universe brings you more success. I know we joke about having connections to Madonna, but surely there's somebody listening who's a music producer who's got some creative vision for your excellence. And I hope you find the right person. Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I watched the interview. You did an interview post... on the YouTube channel, and you asked about like sort of homophobia and racism. That obviously going to so big, you're exposed to a lot of that. And your response was, "Dude, get a life, get a grip." Just sort of what a beautiful attitude to have. Just like they're doing their own thing, and it's just boring, and it doesn't affect me. And a bit more of that Samuel positivity in life, I hope.
I still feel that way. I'm like, listen, because that means if I let you bother me, that means you're in my head. And I said, honey, I'm going to keep doing me no matter what to the day I leave this earth. I'm always going to be fierce. I'm going to be fabulous. I'm going to be Samuel. You do you and let me do me. Okay.
Amazing. What a note to end on. Thank you so much, Samuel. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. The pleasure was all mine.
Take care. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
What a lovely, lovely man.
He was very nice. Apparently, Kate Moss has a similar mantra. It's don't explain, don't complain. And it just means get on with it. Because it's that RuPaul thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What anyone says about you behind your back is none of your business because they don't have the guts to say it to your face.
Yeah.
And for someone like that to basically say, yeah, you know, I'm fabulous in my current incarnation. I will be fabulous in my next incarnation. Just leave me be. I'm fine. It's you're the one that's the problem.
Yeah.
Off you go.
100%. He's I watched loads of his like interviews and stuff. I really think obviously that song was massive at the time, but all the stuff around it and that interview and his like personality, he could be like huge on TikTok again.
But the thing is, it was interesting what you brought up about the homophobia and the racism, but I think there still is a problem with guys of colour and being gay.
Yeah.
I think that still happens, and I don't necessarily think some of the lyrics of gangster rap or rap, as we were discussing earlier, helps soothe that. I think it kind of perpetuates that.
Yeah, well, there is, especially, you know, lots of my partner's half Jamaican, half Irish, like grew up in North London, and like, yeah, a lot of like roadman culture and Caribbean culture is very like homophobic. So it's like, like homophobia is bad anyway, but then if you add in this sort of like, A, you're getting racism for externally, and then internally in your community there's like increased homophobia. I just need more people like Samuel to blaze the light.
Absolutely. From where we don't know, but we're open to it.
Yes, yes. Well, indeed. I think that is ultimately the message of what in the butt. We are open to it. And we head to a group of people that perhaps wouldn't be so open to it. These are maybe the people that might be commenting the homophobia and racism. These are the Facebook lurkers, the local Facebook forum commenters. Are you a Facebook lurker?
Do you know, I only got onto Facebook in the past couple of months because someone said there was a comedy, pro comedy, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yes, and gigs you can, and stuff.
Yeah, for gigs. But it just seems to, like, no disrespect to anyone that's on it. I haven't listed mine. I think I maybe listed availability once, but I just thought, if you're listing your availability, all you're showing is the world that you're not working.
Yep,
so I think it kind of comes to bite you in the what and the butt sort of thing. But I don't really understand. I understand Instagram. I'm a Twitter person and all that kind of stuff. Facebook, I don't get it. I'm not against it. Mm-hmm. I'm open. Again, I'm
open. Very open, yeah. So what is interesting, oh, this is a little secret for you, a little sort of inside training. Like half of the comedy bookings are done via Facebook. You'd have to join a forum and email people. And yes, it's an interesting cesspit of activity.
But what, genuinely, I'm of the opinion, because obviously our main trade, if you will, is that we're both comedians, right? Okay. And my point would be that I think now there are too many comedians.
Oh, yeah.
I think there are too many comedians chasing too few gigs. And my problem with some promoters, not all promoters, it's a power thing. Why would I respond to your email? Well, manners would be one of them.
Yeah.
You know, as rude as I can be, I do like manners. I think I'm firm but fair. What I was really surprised with, and this isn't a read or a dig at anyone, the names that I saw on it, very recognisable names. Saying, I'm free here, or a slew of date. And you're just like, oh. Not that I'm saying that anyone is entitled to gigs or whatever, but it just goes to show there has been a kind of key change in the industry, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always say it's so fractious now. Like, yeah, these big names who we might know as, like, circuit, like, bangers, headliners, just aren't known to an entire different circuit of promoters. So, yeah, you have to sort of be in with 100 people to make a career out of it.
But that's the whole thing, yeah. You've got to have your finger in many pies, and I don't know if that pastry is gluten-free, girlfriend, so we'll just leave that there.
Do you know, I did consider doing a segment with you of reading innuendo headlines and seeing if getting you
to
rank them.
To it.
Yes, yeah. I should have known to go down that route, but for now we shall head back to Facebook. These aren't comedy forums, these aren't comedians.
This is real life.
These are local, sort of often community spaces, people complaining about things. For example, this woman who has complained, 9 p.m. ice cream man blazing again. School night too. Like, seriously, please stop and come before 7:30. What do you make of a 9 p.m. ice cream man?
Okay, so I'm going to say something. I don't think that this ice cream man is just selling ice cream. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I see. If they're out past 9 p.m.
And I think that might be the case, that this person's glorious personality seems to be somewhat altered. I'm sure that blazing covers a multitude of sins. I hope, genuinely, because blazing in Scotland means drunk for some people. So I hope he's not at the wheel drunk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it is the case that a lot of people aren't going to get their screwball tuball at a reasonable time before homework in bed because of, let's just say, extracurricular activity. That's just my
reading. That's your theory, yes. Yeah. Well, there's 40 comments on this post, so yeah, maybe others have proffered the same idea that he's not quite just selling 99s. This next post, a very interesting one. I like this one. It caught my eye. Someone put jam all over my car and it was covered in wasps. Did anyone see this? I'm a homeowner, brag, very unnecessary, and my car is a Kia Sportage.
Not so much of a brag.
You very much brought down your original homeowning.
You've lost your status there. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a good car. They've got a 7-year guarantee.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's just not a prestige model.
No, no, not as much as having a mortgage. I will only park under my camera. I've reported this to the police. He also has a camera, so there you go.
Wow.
Maybe a Ring camera.
I mean, that. Do you know what, though? I love the vengeance because it's creative. And I did watch a couple of Meghan Markle's Netflix thing.
Yes,
and she is so busy all the day long, not only being smug, but making preserves. she doesn't call them jam, she calls them preserves. And do you know something? I'm not a way to bash Meghan because she is who she is. I don't understand why people were surprised that that programme was going to be the way it is.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. People applauding her for being in her kitchen wearing Zara because she's keeping it real. You're like, okay, Bianca. Let's all chill out. But yeah, to put jam on the car, I think what we need to know, and I think it's to do with this combination of high and low self-esteem from the brags about wanting a home to the car. What have you done to annoy the perpetrator of the jam?
Yes. What crime would you... Are there people that you'd shove jam on their car?
Yeah.
Many per person?
I don't know if I would, because I'm more marmalade.
Oh, I see. That's your issue, is the medium of preserve, not the act of revenge.
Are you a jam or a marmalade person? Or both?
I like both, but I do like a good jam. Yeah, and my partner sometimes makes his own sort of strawberry... what's the word? Like, not juice. The
coulée.
Yes.
Is it a coulée?
Coulée? Well, Shea Coulée, the drag queen, so I guess coulée.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's very handy in that respect.
This is a visual one.
Yes. Well, would you like to describe what you're seeing on the screen?
Well, I think what I'm actually seeing is a fairly, shall we say, primitive form of sketch of what I presume is male genitalia.
It's a dick. It's a big old dick, yeah.
Right, okay.
With very big balls, actually, quite round, rotund, hairy balls, but sort of patchily hairy, drawn in chalk on the roadside. Not posting address, but I think this artwork should be removed. Artwork, very sort of highfalutin, should be removed immediately. Very inconsiderate, and those involved should be ashamed.
So I think with the word artwork, I think this has taken place in Lewisham.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that vibe. It's got that kind of vegan thing going on.
You think this is a vegan penis?
I think it could be. It certainly is perpendicular and standing to attention, even though it's 2D. I don't know. All I would say is that testicles, they don't look like that in real life.
No, they really don't. They're very much more oddly shaped.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb. My left one's bigger. How about you?
I definitely, there's a size indifference, but I've not taken notice of which.
Come on, pants off. We'll get this done now.
Turn off the cameras, Christ. Yes, they're certainly not that sort of perfect
but
to
the thing is
Melanie.
As well, if you are so offended by... what is essentially a biology lesson. A very poor lesson. I would just get a bucket of hot water, some bleach, and just throw that down, and then maybe a wee scrub.
Yes. But you want the because if it still remains intact and you're there scrubbing it, it won't look very good, does it? If you're on your hands or knees giving that a big old rub, it's... give it a bit of a wash off first with the hose.
I think the thing is, I would probably bring in a contractor. I don't think I'd like to get my hands dirty.
Have you often paid men to do that?
I have known to pay a man to come in to do odd jobs around the house.
Let's move to the next post before we get into the weeds of whatever.
I've never paid for a horizontal refreshment.
So I used to live in Salisbury. This is from the Salisbury notice board. There is a dead pigeon in the field below, with sheep in, just letting everyone know as bird flu is around and can pass on to dogs. It's near Hudson Field. Just what an inane piece of crap.
Well,
there's a dead pigeon in a field.
Well, also as well, you know, God rest the pigeon, as a dyslexic, even I can see that field is spelled incorrectly.
Yeah, F-E-I-L-D.
And bird flu. Like, I'm not going to read out the name of the person, obviously. I'm tempted to, but how do they know about bird flu? What childhood trauma brought them to recognise the symptoms of bird flu and can pass it on to dogs? People always say that, don't they?
It's a very Victorian childhood in Salisbury, I will say. So there might be some sort of like Dickens,
is that
Dickensian.
Where you're from again?
No. I grew up in Salisbury.
Yes, I remember that. Because I'm a wee bit older. Well, I'm like 20 years older than you, 24 years older than you. Salisbury's was a handbag shop.
Oh,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Now we're just famous for Novichok.
Oh, really? What's that?
The Russian poisonings.
Oh, do you know, I'm not really up on news or current affairs or life.
Fair enough. You're just more focused on the big phallus on your driveway.
Well, absolutely. Well, we've an underground car park.
So oh, I mean, it's, oh, right. Oh. Now, that's a brag. Are you parking your Kia Sportage in it?
Oh, no, I don't think it would fit.
Right, we're heading into a complete double entendre cul-de-sac. We're going to head into another break, and we'll be right back with headlines. We're going to fill in the blank headlines. We're going to have a little debate, ooh, a bit of a back and forth. But for now, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being, like, making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, how tall is your mum? And I was like, oh, she's 6 feet under. Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
If you drink a little, then drive, you risk losing your license. You risk every day becoming more complicated.
How am I supposed to get to training, Dad? How am I supposed to...
You risk losing your job.
I'm going to have to let you go. I'm going to have to let
you risk
go.
Your family not looking at you the same way.
I can't believe you did that.
You risk injuring someone.
Hello, I need an ambulance.
You risk being seen as a drink driver. Drink a little, risk a lot. Think.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Sathya. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness and I need him to be kind.
One in five people in the UK are disabled. And it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
It's the sound of your mates. Alive. It's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've just been joined in the studio by Miss Lacey. If you could give Nathan a message right now, what would it be?
I was there for you, whether you want to admit it or not. I was your backbone, I was your strength, and I would do it again. You know, we fell in love, and I would always pick you to marry you, you know, in that process. But say the truth. Mm. Put the trolls to bed.
Pulse of the Nation continues next on FUBAR Radio.
And here we are, continuing next up, right now even, in the present tense. Sadly, we have no Tanya Moore. I teased her earlier in the show, but she's not been able to get here in time. We'll have her another week, our dear friend Tanya.
Yes.
But you are more than enough, Bruce.
Oh, thank you. But I've seen some of the comments. Some people have said I'm too much.
No. I think you're misreading them. They're saying you can never have too much Bruce. That's
It's between the field, the I before E, the dyslexia. I'm going off my head.
I was saying boo roos. I was gonna I teased you that I'd have an innuendo headline for you.
Uh-huh.
So here's one. This is actually from GB News. Just yesterday. Belize's great hole holds a concerning secret.
Well, I mean, I think we all know what the secret might be, and that brings in Sam Well again, doesn't it?
I said, what, in the butt.
There you go.
It's a 410-foot great blue hole in Belize.
Well, of course it would be. Funny, it would be a hole of colour.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yeah. Clearly. It couldn't
course,
just be a common
Central America's.
Hall.
No, yeah. No. Look, so on that sort of headline you might expect from this next game.
Okay.
So this is a fill in the headlines. So I'm going to read you a headline. There'll be a blank. Fill in the blank with whatever you want.
Okay.
What in the blank, as it might be.
What's in the blank.
So I'll read you this first one. American YouTuber arrested after trying to give blank to isolated tribe.
Isolated tribe. Drugs.
Wow, it's Diet Coke.
Oh, yes. No. I went into the stand in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Not for any other reason than I was booked and I was working that night and whatever. And I asked for a Diet Coke and they said, no, we're not doing it. And I went, why? And they said, because of the situation in the Middle East.
What?
So they've stopped stocking Diet Coke, as has the Glasgow Film Theatre, the GFT.
Oh, because of the BDS boycotts and stuff.
Yeah, which I'm not necessarily that up on. I just kind of thought, a can of Diet Coke, is it going to make any difference? Is it not? Would you like to enlighten me a bit more about these boycotts?
I will. Well, I'm also not au fait with every brand that is under the BDS.
This is just two friends chatting.
Yes. when I thought you were going to get me in trouble, I thought you'd say something libelous. I thought you maybe would draw me down a sexual route. I did not think you'd have me commenting on the Middle East, but
no,
here we are.
I'll do that next week. Because I'm coming back.
Yes, yes. So BDS is boycott, divestment and sanctions.
Okay.
Sort of an economic tool against oppressive nations, for you know, Israel occupying Palestine.
Yeah.
So to get at them, you're punishing companies that invest into Israel, which I guess the Diet Coke parent company is one of those.
So, right, okay. So I did have a handle on it because I'd said to the person, who was very nice, by the way, and they said, oh, we've got this new Coke. And I said, oh, right, give me some. That's fine. And then I kind of had a wee bit of a look into it and I went, when was the last time that you ate in McDonald's and when did you last shop in Zara? Now, my point would be because they have big presences in, and it's a bit like as well, I'm a fan of Charlotte Tilbury.
Yeah.
And I enjoy her eye patches. I enjoy a lot of her products, but she also has a big following and a big presence in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's great if you want to hit them where it hurts and all this kind of stuff, but I always think if you're going to be puritanical, you have to do it properly.
Yeah.
You can't be the meat-eating vegetarian.
No, indeed. Well, my friend Daya is very hot on the BDS list, and she lives very strictly by it, and I very much...
I
really respect that,
yeah.
And also, she's not policing of other people. Obviously, if we're in a group and she'll say, oh, well, I can't go to McDonald's, and we'll change our group plans. We're more than happy to accommodate.
Of course.
Yeah, she's very good on it, and I respect that. I'm not as... I'm not as
stringent, just because I... in my own head all the time.
We're too self-obsessed, really.
Well, absolutely, yes. That's exactly it. So I'm glad you said it first.
Yeah, so that is the sort of the stance of Pulse of the Nation and indeed FUBAR Radio. Here's the beautiful thing about having a show on this station is you can claim that FUBAR Radio supports anything, stands for anything, endorses anything, really. So the stance of FUBAR Radio is egotism over political awareness.
Absolutely, yes. And I think that's very wise. You know, we're just a way ahead into summer. It's been a long winter.
Yes.
Honestly, all we want to do is get our shorts back on. And frankly, left alone.
Yeah, are you shorts? I saw you wearing shorts on stage.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
one of the great sins of comedy.
Do you think?
No, I don't.
Not with these legs. I love shorts because I go up and down with my weight. My legs always, and I've got quite toned calves, and my thighs are decent, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and I just like the freedom of. I went to a school that you had the option of wearing shorts until primary seven, and did that even in winter with a long sock, even in the snow, with a rah-rah duffel. I do. Well, when I met you, I was in a short suit.
You were, yes. Yeah. It was very fashionable.
I told.
But I was, when we were out till 2 a.m, you were still in your shorts.
Absolutely.
I just didn't understand it.
And that's the thing about Cardiff. Anything goes.
Yeah. Well, thank God you didn't take the tumble with the McDonald's, or you would have absolutely dug it up your knees.
No, that's true, actually. But the good thing is, and what we have to say to the people was, that was a chicken share box.
Yes, yeah.
And I don't think we lost much of it.
I think mostly chips and maybe one bit of.
And the chips
nugget.
Are nonsense the next day anyway. You just want the nuggets or the tenders or whatever. And if you are not eating McDonald's, we're not here to plug McDonald's, and we're also not here to upset you.
No, indeed. So. Although I will say, you asked me to bring the cold McDonald's to the green room. The green room at Cardiff Glee very famously has a kitchen and will provide the artists with any food they desire.
Well, that's true.
You
actually
could have had a cooked fresh burger.
No, but that's true. But the one thing that I hate is food waste.
Yeah,
like genuinely, I know that's ridiculous. Please bring that and all that kind of thing, because it would just go in the bin otherwise.
Yeah,
and the manager loved it.
Yes, he was enjoyed you there, sort of munching daisily on your chicken.
Yes, exactly.
Stealing yourself up to perform.
Well, that's the whole thing. Because the thing was, I was there on the Thursday, because you joined us the Friday and Saturday.
Indeed, yeah.
And me, Sarah, and Chris went out. And of course, I'm one of these people, I don't know about the people at home or whatever you're listening. Right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll stay out all night. 11 o'clock if there's shots and all that. And so anyway, we went back to the hotel, and apparently, so I woke up the next day and I looked at this bag of crisps, and I thought, they're not crisps that you buy at a shop. And I thought, they're crisps that you get at a bar. And I thought, was I in the bar? Was I? And then I've gone into work the next night, and he said, yeah, you were in the bar. I had to take care of your tab because you didn't have your phone with you. You were trying to pay for drinks with your key for your room. So, yeah.
Yes, and that was on the Thursday night, and then the Friday night you took us out again, and then the Saturday we ended up in an all bar one. You took us out again.
But then we went to, was it Mary's? But that was too late. Because Sarah's partner is called Mildred.
Mildred.
Mildred. Because it was taking Mildred a while to come back from wherever she was. This is a man called Martin from Leeds, by the way. And I think they're going to go and live in Australia or whatever. But I couldn't call him Martin. He didn't look like a Martin. He look like a Mildred.
Yes, it did suit him. We had a lovely weekend in Cardiff.
There you go. It's a good place.
But this story, I don't know if you remember, we had a starting point many moons ago.
Sorry.
No, I'm just joking. This is a jumping off point for chat, so we've jumped right off.
Oh.
Splash! I'll just tell you the story and then we'll get into our debate. This is an American YouTuber who's 24 years old. He went to the off-limits Indian Ocean island of Sentinel, and it's a tribe that have been no contact with the outside world, very primitive tribe. They're like, you can't contact them because, you know, a flu would kill off the whole tribe, basically.
Wow.
They don't have those sort of antibodies. And he left a can of Diet Coke as an offering, and he's facing years in prison because of it.
Oh, wow.
So he went up to the island in a dinghy, left a Coke, took some photos, and came back.
So, but do you think he must have known what he was doing, and he must have known he was being contentious?
He's done it before. He tried to do it before, and he got stopped and fined and whatever. But yeah, this time he's actually.
Imagine though, coast guards all over the world having to worry about people in like dinghies from Lidl or something like that, and you know, snide Diet Coke.
Yeah,
you know the freeway stuff you get in the Lidl, which isn't the real thing. I don't know. Yeah.
We always end on a little debate. This is sort of very light-hearted back and forth. But I mentioned this to you, and you said you have thoughts.
Yeah.
So I'm keen to hear your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Raj Gill in the Metro. I'm not leaving my kids a penny when I die. So this is off the back of the news that Joe Schwash and Stacey Solomon don't intend to give their kids any of their £6.5 million inheritance. And they are part of a group called Skiers, Spend the Kids' Inheritance. What do you think of this, leaving behind something for your children?
Okay, I think it is phenomenal in terms of, wow, that they have 6.5 million. You're like, really? Okay, great. My point about it would be, I think it's a very middle class thing, not to leave your children anything, whereas working class, no, you've got the house, you're going to get the house, you're going to get this, you're going to get that.
Yeah.
I know someone in my real life out with of this who is a very affluent person, a very hard worker, and has said absolutely not, they get nothing. They will continue to have a fantastic life while they live with me. I will put them through university and whatever, but no, I don't know what this person's going to do with the money. It's none of my business, obviously. But there was a model in the 90s, Jaquetta Wheeler, whose father was a big finance person, and he very famously said, I'm not leaving them anything. So I don't know if they leave it to charity or they leave it to a friend or whatever.
I guess they just try and spend it all before they go.
Well, the thing is, if you think about it, so say you're like a heavy-duty multi-millionaire, and you know your income is like possibly £1 million a year on interest alone.
Yeah.
How do you get through that money?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose you could phone Katie Price and ask her, because she blew through, what, 30 million, 40 million?
Yeah, yeah.
So she really won't be leaving the children anything, and I'm not necessarily sure that's what she wanted to do.
No, yes,
what do you think about it?
Well, I don't mind it. I suppose, I think you're right, it's a working class thing, because if you're working class, you've built up every penny you've earned over your lifetime.
Yeah.
So you think, well, my children can do the same, whereas middle class people or upper class people maybe have more sort of generational wealth that they, they're like, well, I benefit from generational wealth, so I'll pass it on. Yeah, I suppose I don't mind if my
I think it's a working class thing that they will leave you stuff in the will. I think it's a very middle class thing. They won't.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Right,
so
sorry.
I understand about generational wealth and all that kind of stuff, but you'd I mean, obviously, not everything because you're middle class is handed to you. We get that. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're not stupid. We may sound it, but we're not stupid. But no, I think it definitely is. I think it's a real working class thing that, okay, I may not be able to leave you a huge amount of money, but you've got the house.
Yeah.
Whatever the house is worth. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I won't put this out too much because I think my parents do listen to this radio station. I don't mind if they decide not to leave me anything. Yeah, I do agree with sort of making your own money. But also, like, yeah, what are you going to do? I get giving it to charity maybe is nice, but really, I think it should maybe go down.
What's
to
that charity done for you?
Yeah.
Nothing. It's your children that you're meant to know. How dare you leave them without anything? No, I think it's completely up to the individual.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, look, we are going to end the show here. We were going to see out the show with the full rendition of What in the Butt, but we've blethered so long, I'm afraid.
Och, no.
That we don't have time for Dear Samwell. But do go and look it up. You enjoyed it.
I did. Yeah. I really liked it. And the video is amazing.
Oh, it's that's the real art of it. The song on its own, it is enjoyable, but the video is what makes it the viral sensation it is, I think.
It's very similar to the nightclub where Bette Midler, as Cece Bloom, revives her her career in San Francisco. It's got that whole kind of neon thing. There's Hadaway vibes and all this kind of stuff. It just looks the business.
I feel just based on that reference and the content of the show alone, if today has been too gay for you, please tune in next week. I will make sure, I will endeavour to get a heterosexual into the studio.
Yeah, get an industrialist then. Get them to come in their own Kia.
Yeah, with their own Kia Sportage. Thank you so much, Bruce. It's been a delight to have you in. I would have you over any industrialist any day of the week. You can follow Bruce at Bruce Angus Devlin, at Fubar Radio for all your radio needs. Thank you to Kieran in the booth. I'm at Stand Up Andrew, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Fubar Radio.